Hi, this is the bad boy, Joey Janela, and you're listening to the Going In Raw podcast. Joey Janela always goes in.
This is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, and you are listening to Going In Raw.
Hey everyone, Kenny Omega here. In case you didn't know, we have an awesome kick butt show called Stephen Larson's Going In Raw, and they're going to be supporting AEW every week amongst many other things. Goodbye and smooch. Good night. Bye-bye.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson. Available wherever podcasts can be found, and of course, taped live at the Twitch at twitch.tv/ Steve and Larson. That's right. We decided to do Wednesday Night Dynamites again because they decided to be on Wednesdays again here. And that's great. It was a really, really fun episode of Dynamite tonight.
It was.
And the end of an era of the Daily's Place era. I'm sure they'll probably, if Cody is to be believed, they'll probably go back there every once in a while. It's it's considered a somewhat of a home base now.
Yeah, I would think whenever they're in the northern Florida area, when they get resumed touring on a you know, like on a full schedule, that'll be their stop.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And we were left tonight with a really wonderful video package that I thought really, number one, almost made me cry because of all the Brody Lee shots. Oh boy, that got me. But B, also just how well AEW adapted to Daily's Place being a home base, bringing in wrestlers as fans, trickling in fans towards the latter half of these past 18 months or whatever, however long it's been. Mm-hmm. They've done a really great job with it. There have been so many memorable moments. And tonight was no different. We had an absolutely stellar main event that I thought had a finish that was reminiscent of like some of the great Attitude Era finishes.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a heel faction, face faction, wasn't going to end cleanly. You've got this guy, Sammy Guevara, who's just booked super strong, but not strong enough to counter a shot to the head with a chair.
I mean, he could kick out of a second rope tombstone, but not a chair shot to the head.
Yeah, some people here in our chat were not too thrilled with the second rope tombstone kick out. I'm just like, hey, this is the world that we have invested in AEW.
I know. It is.
You know.
And also, I look at the clock and it's like 6:50. I'm like, I know the finish isn't going to happen yet, so I just gotta roll with it, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's one of the tropes of professional wrestling. It to me, it's no different than, okay, well, Kevin Nash has a powerbomb, or Sid has a powerbomb finisher, and yet other people can use that as just a regular move.
Exactly.
And it's not going to do anything. So it's just another convention in pro wrestling. But I thought it was a spectacular match, and I thought the opening match was a spectacular match. As well, the tag match featuring the Young Bucks versus Eddie Kingston and Pentagon Jr., Penta El Cerro Miedo. I thought that was fantastic. Of course, they won, and they get a shot at the tag titles coming next up pretty
week,
shortly.
Yeah. Next week, yeah.
Next week. So I thought there was a lot to like about Dynamite. What beyond what I said, what stood out?
No, it was the main event. I mean, I texted you, I don't know, quarter to the hour and said, this match is nuts. I think it was after the tombstone bit. You know, we know Sammy and MJF are really good wrestlers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave this match nearly a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, I was like, oh, okay, they're going to try to tear the house down.
Mm-hmm.
And they did exactly that and then some.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the best TV matches that Dynamite's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was spectacular stuff. And, you know, they've managed to take a feud between Pinnacle and Inner Circle that is already basically two pay-per-views in. I know it's only really one with the Stadium Stampede with Double or Nothing, but you had Blood and Guts before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got the two faction matches out of the way. Now they're breaking it down into individual singles or tag matches. And I'm sure it will culminate in MJF versus Jericho.
Well, yeah. I mean, he basically said as much tonight in his promo. There's going to be some stipulations
which
that he's got.
We've seen MJF do that before with Cody, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have. And then maybe most interestingly, they have finally started laying the foundation for Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Kenny Omega, if I'm not mistaken, indicated that he was planning on taking some time off away from AEW because there were no more challengers.
That's correct.
Enter the Dark Order without their friend Hangman Page anywhere around, and they make the case for him. They say, hey, he's the number one ranked singles guy. He's a guy you know very well. And he's and Kenny says, well, they don't name him. If this guy is who I think you're talking about, he doesn't even think he can beat me. He doesn't think he deserves to raise this title high. This is awesome. I really do hope, and then he was kind of mad at the Dark Order and they all pepped him up. The relationship aspect of AEW really is fantastic.
Yeah,
it really is.
It really is. Because nothing seems forced. Everything seems organic and natural.
Yeah.
You know, like WWE, sometimes they try to do angles, you know, about relationships between people. And, you know, we won't see them ever on TV together. And then 1 week they're best friends. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We don't get to see the build to that. They're just best friends already. And we're just accept, you know, they say, hey, just you got to go along with it, essentially.
Yeah.
Because that's the story they want to tell. Whereas in AEW, I feel like they take the time to establish that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It builds. Exactly. So when moments like this happen, or when Paige beats Kenny for that belt, Dark Order comes out, celebrates with him, it feels earned. It means
it's
something.
It's huge. It's going to be massive.
Yep.
It's really going to be massive. Yeah. It's really great stuff. Let's just dive into it, because otherwise we're just going to, because there was a lot to appreciate tonight. That kickoff match. I mean, again, we mentioned this earlier about the opening tag match on NXT in our review earlier. Sort of like you got to see it to believe it. Just so much great stuff. The Bucks come out. Matt Jackson now has a ridiculous mustache. Nick has got, what is it, like the handlebars?
Yeah,
like
he's got Fu handlebars. Manchu? He's got handlebars now, yeah.
Looks great. Looks absolutely amazing. They look so ridiculous. Shivani even said, Matt Jackson looks like a porn star now.
Yeah.
So yeah, really fun stuff. I loved Cutler freaking out and not being able to stop hitting Matt with the cold spray to lead to the finish. So walk us through that finish right there,
Lance. All right, so Good Brothers, they come down to ringside. And meanwhile, Eddie's doling out a bunch of strikes to the Young Bucks. He hits Nick with an exploder. Bucks respond with a bunch of super kicks. And then Matt's holding up Penta by the ropes. So Nick charges, I believe. Backdrops him out. The Good Brothers are distracting the ref, and so Cutler's trying to spray Penta in the eyes. He ducks, so Matt gets the cold spray in the eyes. Kazarian comes out to lay out the Good Brothers. Penta takes the three of them out, plus Nick with a tope. Back in the ring, Penta hits a package pile driver. Eddie's in, hits a back fist. Penta covers to get the win.
Isn't it awesome that Kazarian is actually a halfway effective elite hunter?
I know.
You know, I mean, we saw, what was the name? Who's the Bullet Club hunter? Yoshitatsu. But I don't think he was a very effective Bullet Club hunter.
Mm-mm.
Kazarian?
I mean, Bullet Club's still around.
That's true. That's true. I mean, the people he was hunting are by and large pretty much out.
Yeah, but not by his hand.
True. Very true. Coincidental.
Happenstance has led them out of the company, not so much Yoshitatsu.
Maybe he was the puppet master, but we have no evidence to suggest that. Kazarian, on the other hand, very active.
Yes.
And doing a decent job hunting elite. In this case, Penta and Kingston hit their finishers on Matt after Cutler accidentally sprayed him, but couldn't stop himself because he was so freaked out by it.
Yeah.
It was pretty hilarious.
It was pretty great. Brandon Cutler's doing such good work in this role.
And he's got his own weird facial hair, too. He's got one of those goofy, like, soul patches, I think.
After that, we had Christian, the Jungle Boy, backstage.
Lord.
So Christian says, I'm proud of you, Jack.
This hanger-on. This hanger-on.
They're telling a story here. It's good stuff.
You know what it reminded me? It reminded me of The Sixth Sense when the kid was rolling around with dead Bruce Willis. Spoiler alert. And, like, Jungle Boy barely acknowledges him. And Christian's just sitting there talking to him.
I can see that. So he says to Jungle Boy, you can take something from that loss. I don't believe in wins and losses. I believe in wins and learns. And last Dynamite, you learned that you can stand toe-to-toe with Kenny. You'll be a champion someday. But tonight, you could be the first AEW wrestler to get 50 wins. That's quite a landmark, quite an achievement. So Luchasaurus and Marco Stunt walk in. Luchasaurus thanks Christian for having Jungle Boys back on Saturday. He says, dinosaurs are very loyal. Now I have your back. And so then they start talking about how Christian was like part dinosaur.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
Like a one-fourth dinosaur on his mom's side? So, like, doesn't that mean his grandma might have...
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
After that, we had an Ethan Page promo where he's talking endlessly about Darby Allin. He says, every time he coffin drops, I'm going to make it so that every time you coffin drop someone, you're going to remember me dropping you in the coffin and nailing you in it. And then Sting comes out. Was he had a coffin? Did he have a coffin with him?
He had a coffin that he was pulling.
And then Darby comes out of that, attacks Page.
Yeah.
Sting drops Scorpio Sky with the death drop.
Yeah.
Scorpion death drop. Darby sort of sends Page to the outside. He gets on the mic. And then so they were originally supposed to have this match next week. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He cancels that. He says, card subject to change. That match is off.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to touch me. So if you don't touch me next week, maybe I'll consider putting that match on it again.
But he wants that in writing. He wants a contract.
He wants it legal. Yeah.
He wants a contract that says you can't touch me a week before the match.
No touching.
And if you leave me alone, maybe I'll consider giving you that match. So next we had Jack Evans versus Jungle Boy. Before the match begins, Matt Hardy has a promo, says he was going to end Christian's career for good. Then Jungle Boy stuck his nose in his business. Now he essentially paid Jack Evans not to beat him, but to hurt him. He said, I don't care if Evans wins or loses this match. I want him to hurt Jungle Boy. He failed in that. It's a fun match.
Yeah, he just had a regular match with him.
I know. He didn't make any attempt to cut corners to hurt him. I think he wanted to win first, then hurt him.
Yeah, he wanted to have his cake and eat it too, but no, man, you're getting paid. I don't know if he's going to get paid now.
But here's the thing. Assuming that he's a smart businessman, this scenario at least gets part of that money up front from Matt Hardy.
You think? A deposit.
Yeah, a deposit, a retainer of some sort.
A retainer.
And then if you win, you get the winner's purse.
Yeah.
And then after that, you can go about hurting Jungle Boy. You get all the money.
Even more money. But he did like one of those three things, maybe. I don't know if he's going to get anything out of this.
Well, hopefully he got his retainer at the least.
He got tapped out. That's what he got.
Yeah, so he did get tapped out.
He got a whole lot of business is what he got. Because Jungle Boy tapped him out. And then afterwards, the HFO, the Hardy Family Office, comes running out, which is the worst name in pro wrestling. Before they get Jungle Boy, because Jungle Boy's like doing his pose up in the corner, Christian and Jurassic Express come out to help. Of course, Matt Hardy and Christian go at it. Hardy gets dropped by Christian. Christian chokes out Matt with his own jacket. And then Evans attacks and lets Matt Hardy escape as Christian handles Jack Evans. So Jack Evans kind of useless in this situation.
Seemingly, yes. After that, we had an MJF promo. He talked about how he's outsmarted Jericho, out-wrestled him, and now outclassed him on the mic. He is the new king of AEW. He says, Jericho, you're a 30-year vet. You'd think you'd walk away after you've been bested, but no. You've turned AEW to your own weird version of Looney Tunes, names off all the kind of silly things he's done, the bubbly bath, all that kind of stuff. He says, but MJF is laughing because Jericho thinks I'm the butt of the joke, but now, Jericho, you're the joke. Now this is the best you can come up with. Used to be a legend, you know? He asked Jericho how low he's willing to stoop, because next week he's going to give Jericho his stipulations so that Chris can get a one-on-one match with MJF. But when MJF beats him, then Jericho has to leave him alone for good. He says a lot of people have been wanting to see Sammy versus MJF for a long time because fans want to know who is the future of pro wrestling. And he says, I'll admit Sammy is going to be the future. It's because I am the now.
Yeah.
And then he says something about I'm better than you and you know it.
I'm better than you. And I like, so somebody mentioned this as well. Of course, Chris Jericho is on commentary tonight.
Yeah.
I like the organ grinder here in chat reminded me of this line Jericho said about Jungle Boy. I don't like that crowd singing along with his theme. Is that? And JR got a good check. Oh, it was funny. It's funny because they do it for you. And then Jericho is yelling at MJF's promo at the end of this. He said, I'll take whatever stipulations you have.
Yeah.
So if you recall correctly, Cody's stipulations was like he doesn't touch him. And then he has that steel cage match against Wardlow.
And then I think he had to take
lashings.
The strap.
Maybe he'll bring in Jackson Ryker for some flogging, some flagellation. That's self. That's doing it to yourself.
Though. Yeah, yeah.
Flogging,
yeah.
I think, is you. Anyways. After that, we had an Andrade promo. He said, hey, you know, he had an announcement, but he was interrupted by Matt something. And he's like, Seidel. He was like, yeah, Matt something. He said, so basically at Road Rager, how about this? Andrade El Idolo versus Matt something. I love Andrade so much. Good. That's going to be a hell of a match.
That's gonna be
Andrade
fantastic.
Versus Matt something.
Fantastic.
World Rage.
It's good. It was good stuff. Next, we had a Kenny Omega interview. So he shaved. He saw his beard, but he shaved off the chin hair.
It's Triple H 2005.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what he was going for.
Evolution era Triple H. Mm-hmm. So he has the interview with Tony. He's like, hey, this reminds me of a conversation we had earlier today where, Tony, you asked me, you know, with someone as decorated as Kenny, how do you stay motivated? How do you find that next goal? And Tony says, well, I didn't say anything like that to you. And Kenny says, well, I'll tell you. Today, I woke up feeling like a king, and upon further reflection, I have defeated the toughest guy in AEW, the greatest high flyer, the top merch seller, the greatest athlete not named Kenny. He defeated the top up-and-coming star. That would be Jungle Boy. And he says, it pains me to say it, but with no one left among the ranks, I'll take a little time off. He says, I still have belts in other promotions where maybe you will see me wrestle, but I'm going to take my leave. And this is when the Dark Order comes out. And Evil Uno says, did you just say you have no more challengers? And Kenny says, yeah. Evil Uno says, we think differently. Kenny wonders if, you're going to send five after me? He says he wouldn't last 2 minutes in the ring with me.
That's funny because he lasted like 10 minutes with him a year ago.
When he was Allen Angels.
Yeah, Allen Angels.
And then tells Uno, none of them are even ranked high enough to face him. They don't have enough wins. And Uno says, no, you're right about that. None of us have enough singles wins to face you, but there's someone that does. Someone they've befriended. Someone that Kenny used to be friends with. A number one contender at AEW. And Kenny says, if you're talking about who I think you're talking about, he wouldn't appreciate you speaking on his behalf. He wouldn't appreciate, nor does he have the guts to face me, nor does he think he has the right to call himself champ and hold this title. So unless, Uno, you have something else up your sleeve, this is where I bid you adieu. Good night. Goodbye. Bang.
Bang.
And then, so they're standing between him and the ramp, and he's just kind of like, get out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
Part so I may pass.
Yeah. After that, we got a Pillman Jr. promo. He says, I didn't have much faith growing up, nor did I really have any parents. But what I had were great teammates when I was playing sports. He says, Griff is like a brother to me. And when you laid your hands on him, Miro, you made it personal. This is more than a TNT title match. I'm going to show everybody that you're not God's favorite champion. You're just a big bully and a big Bulgarian bitch. Strong words from Brian Pillman Jr.
Very strong words. Very strong words. That match was next. Miro has new music.
It's very dramatic.
It is very dramatic. And that kind of atonal, almost like a war horn sounding thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
No, it's a war horn.
That's great. It's fantastic.
Oh, anyways, Miro tapped out Pillman via game over.
Yeah. I mean, the early stretch, Miro was just basically throwing Pillman Jr. wherever he wanted to. He was destroying him.
Yeah.
Pillman eventually, though, gets some offense, drop kicks him off the apron, hits that awesome-looking drop kick through the ropes.
Oh man, yeah, yeah, that was great.
That was great. Hits the springboard clothesline, gets a two, and he looks for another springboard, and Miro is trying to counter it with a kick, but it's a fake out from Pillman. He doesn't do the springboard. Instead, he hits Miro with a couple super kicks, goes for a third. Miro catches that, hits a kick of his own, Machka kick, game over. Pillman passes out.
Yeah, good showing from Brian Pillman Jr. According to Sean Ross Sapp, he only, I think, started or ended training 4 years ago.
That's crazy.
In pro wrestling, which is absolutely nuts. This guy's got a great look to him, and he's a really fun wrestler at this point in his career. After that, Hangman Page comes in to the Dark Order's little dressing room. And he's like, what is your guys' problem issuing that challenge for me on my behalf? And he says, you guys think I'm scared of Kenny or something? And Colt says, hey, man, you might be scared of failure. And it's okay to fail as long as you get back up. We're here for you, Adam. And everybody sort of says, hey, Adam, when I did so-and-so, you lifted me up. They give their own testimonials about how great a friend he is and how he would lift them up. And so they're trying to lift him up. Mm. It's a really wonderful thing.
It's really heartwarming. It really is.
And they all leave as they're saying, hey, we believe in you, man. And then Silver is the last one. And he says, Reynolds is the last one. And he says, you've waited long enough, Adam. This is your time.
It's really good.
Doodle-doodle-doodle.
It's really good. Yeah, your time. We get a quick Team Taz promo. I missed the beginning of this, but like the gist I got was Taz saying there was some toxicity in Team Taz that needed to be dealt with. This is where Hook says, I'm tired of it. Hobbs says, I want it figured out. So Taz says, yeah, we're going to work it out. Cage is going to defend the FTW title against Starks at Fyter Fest. And he says, sometimes families have to fight to work things out.
This is a mess.
It's an absolute
mess. This is not going to be good. Oh, man. Speaking of something that is good, Wrestling Brain is here.
Oh, cool.
They rated us with a party of six. You guys want to check out a cool wrestling Twitch channel, check out Wrestling Brain. They're cool.
Yeah. Heck yes.
Ricky, are they going to jump Cage out of the group? Is that what they're going to do here?
Seems like it. I mean, Taz was clear to say that he said a fully medically cleared Ricky Starks.
Yeah. And the title's on the line. Are we going to see a title change? And they're going to, because Cage is not on the same. I feel like Ricky's on the same page with everybody.
I feel like he is. He's just probably a bit more demonstrative about it than Taz probably would prefer.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Do you think that shifts it? They're going to jump somebody out of the group. This is not meant to solve anything.
No, this is not meant to solve a problem. This is a ruse, subterfuge. That's what this is.
This is to kick somebody out of a group.
Yes.
As my dog chimes in from beyond.
Is she making her pick? Who's getting kicked out, Gypsy? Who's getting kicked out of this?
I think she said Brian Cage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next. Remember that. I'll write that down. Steve's dog says Brian Cage.
All the confidence points on Brian Cage getting kicked out of the group. Wow. Ricky Starks becoming new FTW champion, as well he should. After that, we had Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero versus Britt Baker and Rebel. It's kind of a goofy match. According to my notes here, it says Rebel isolates Rebel. That's not right. It's Nyla Rose isolates Rebel for the longest time. Britt finally gets a hot tag in. Britt gets out of a beast bomb attempt, gets the glove from Rebel, but instead eats a choke slam. Britt gets draped over the ropes. Nyla hits that great knee strike from the top. Mm-hmm. Rebel comes in and breaks it up. It looks like she messes up her leg somehow, and she sort of army crawls out. So we're still sort of waiting on any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah. So Britt shoves Nyla off the top, grabs Vicky, and taps her out with the claw. And then somebody had mentioned, I didn't notice this immediately. Did Vicky like kick out or like get out of the, like sort of no sell the claw there at the end?
I saw something on Twitter about that. I didn't notice it live. I was probably taking notes.
Yeah, sometimes I think
when I
look
down and take notes, I missed some details. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So after the match, there was a really sick spot. Maybe somebody in chat will enlighten us. After the match, Nyla powerbombs Britt. They get out the table. And Britt is then powerbombed by Nyla off the apron through the table that's like there on the ground. It was rough. That was a nasty looking spot right there. That was really good stuff. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Agreed. After that, we had a Hager in XLAX, Santana Ortiz promo. Hager spoke first. He talks about every time you see us, you get your ass kicked. And then he lists off a bunch of stuff that Pinnacle and MJF have done, culminating in, of course, MJF punching Dean Malenko.
Mm-hmm.
And then Santana talks about how they love to fight. And when they finally all meet head-to-head, Pinnacle better bring the fight while they can. This is when they're announcing the matches for Road Rager. Conan is going to be in Santana, Ortiz, and Hager's corner next week on Dynamite. That's pretty cool.
That's exciting. Give him a live mic.
Just let him do live commentary during their match.
Oh, that'd be amazing. That'd be the best, the absolute best. After that, we had, the main event. Sammy Guevara versus MJF.
Man, this was off the charts.
It was nuts. And like you said, they gave it nearly a half hour. There was that bit. I mean, the first note that I wrote down, I was just enjoying this stuff. First note I had to write down was when mid-match, Sammy launched himself off the top rope for a flipping senton onto MJF, who had landed on the other side of the barricade. That was nuts.
What I liked about this, sorry, I mean, real quick.
Because
like early on, they probably, because I knew that a half hour, they slow build to the major spots, the huge spots.
Yeah, yeah.
But even the early bit, you know, a match like this, where it's two people who don't like each other, mm-hmm. that's the story. They didn't go to hockey fight right away. You know, they didn't grab each other by the collarbones and start swinging. It was very technical to start.
Yeah,
and right. It was fast, and it was really well executed, and a lot of pinning combos. It's more like, okay, I want to get a quick win here, as opposed to a knockdown, drag out fight. And then at the end of which, MJF offers his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's trying to trick Sammy into doing something. Instead, Sammy hits him. And that's mm-hmm. when it starts getting chippy. And it just starts escalating from there. In terms of the pacing of this match, I thought it was just really, really smart.
Given especially how much time that it had, yeah, it never lulled.
Nope.
It built really, really well. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Then we got a second rope tombstone.
Amazing. Did not see that coming.
I did not see that coming, man. I did not expect that. That was awesome. And then, of course, Sammy hits his finish, the go to sleep thing.
GTH, I think it's called.
GTH, yeah. But it's next to the ropes. Yeah. Well, it's not even really that, because like they made a good point, because like when he did the pin, it like his legs were just in the ropes, as opposed to MJF consciously putting his leg on the rope. And Sammy was like, God dang it.
Sammy, his exuberance to get that win ended up costing the match. What I liked about the tombstone thing is you jump off the second rope on your knees, it's probably going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah,
and MJF did a hell of a job selling knee. Like there's a bit where he tried to pick Sammy up and they both collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy's like literally on the ground, like telling the ref, my neck's jacked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, these little details that are great.
Yeah. The crowd, they were got though when he did the, his finish and he was up in the ropes, because that ref went 1-2 and like went all the way down.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a second. You hear half the crowd go start to pop big for Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh.
Yep. So after that bit, Sammy goes up top and MJF's on the mat and he's begging Sammy to not jump on him. Sammy mm-hmm. hits the 630 while MJF is like halfway sitting up.
Yeah.
MJF kicks out. So Sean Spears comes walking out on the ramp. And Jericho, who's at commentary, leaves to go intercept. Wardlow attacks Jericho from behind, lays him out, and he's got him by the neck. And he's yelling at the ref, hey, ref, up here. And so the ref looks. Then Wardlow tosses Jericho off the stage.
Enough
of a distraction for Spears to hit Sammy with a chair shot. And then MJF crawls over to get the win. And then Wardlow and Spears hit the ring afterwards and basically have to pick up MJF, put him on the top in the corner so he could celebrate and pose. It was pretty well done. It was really great.
Yeah, it was really well done. And then they had that great emotional tribute to it. It's funny, I mentioned this pre-show. Like, I was sort of like reveling in the end of that match, and I didn't realize they were going to run a package for Daily's Place, the Daily's Place era. And so, of course, it kicks off with Cody in the middle of an empty ring. And so I look up and I'm like, what is this shit? Oh, that's right. We didn't have any Cody this week. So he's got to have a last word here.
He's got to have the dramatic promo about his match against QT Marshall.
Right, yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be. And then I was like, oh, I remember that.
It's like, this happened already. Why is Cody doing the same thing again?
Yeah, right. Dang MQ also, I saw this earlier as well. PW Insider is reporting that Sanjay Dutt was backstage at WWE Dynamite. Of course, he was just very recently a WWE producer backstage. Left, He jumped ship. He pulled a Rick Rude.
Interesting. You want to answer a few questions? Yeah.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Do that. White Brownie says, any chances we get some debuts or surprises next week? It's pot. They're booking these things like they're basically mini pay-per-views.
Virtually, I know. Ryan's Rubik's Cube here with the sub. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, there was that bit during the opening match. I missed that, but I saw the crowd going crazy over the three count. There was a spot.
Yeah.
So walk me through that. It was like, did Pentagon like score a three? The ref like,
basically,
it was just a really late count, a late kick out or something?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact spot, but it was a kick out that was basically like as hand was meeting Matt, I think.
Right, yeah.
And the crowd was giving Rick Knox a bunch of crap about it. So you're chanting that was three. And smart of him, no, he did. He raises two fingers up and goes, no, that was two. It was pretty great.
Even I appreciate that. Even commentary got in on it. They're like, oh, I think it was Jericho, probably, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my God, give me a break. That was three.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It was pretty great. Jorge D, which wrestler's son will AEW bring in next? So far, we have Billy Gunn's sons, Hook and Brock.
Anderson. They're going to bring in. Doesn't Booker T have some sons?
I don't know.
Are they in WWE's developmental?
I don't know.
Am I just making this up? Let's see here. Devon. That's who it is. It's Devon. He is like, doesn't he have twins or something?
Yeah.
Did I make that part up? There you go. Devon Dudley's.
That's a good
answer. Oh, well, wait a second. Here we go. November. They already came in.
That's what I thought. They're
on Dark.
Match on.
Yeah. They're on Dark. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there you go. The Von Erichs in MLW.
They're in MLW.
Yeah.
Organ Grinder says, so I guess they were saving Hangman versus Omega for crowds, huh? Yep.
Yeah. I hope that happens in Chicago, by the way.
Oh, it's gotta. That's gotta happen in Chicago. Mox Halite. Sorry if I got that wrong.
I just call him Mox.
Mox, very well. Kenny really worked to put Jungle Boy over in his promo. AEW sees a lot in Jungle Boy. They're doing a hell of a job of developing their building blocks for the future.
They really are.
Jungle Boy, Darby, MJF, Sammy.
All jump to WWE. Eddie Brock's Venom says, with the recent releases lately, when would you say AEW stops bringing in the WWE guys before they become like TNA in 2008? I don't think that that's going to be the case. I think they pick and choose. If that's the case, they would have signed Cardona to like a long-term deal. They would bring everybody in. But if you release the Bollywood boys, they're great, by the way. Who was that crop? It was Breezango, Bollywood boys, Braun, and Aleister Black. Out of that crew, they should go after Braun. They're going to get Aleister Black. I don't know that they're going to go after Breezango. They're great. They should. Yeah. They probably should, to be honest with you. But I don't know that they will. Tony Nese. Yeah, Tony Nese. I don't know that they're going to go after Tony Nese. I don't know.
I have no idea. Like,
I don't think they'll go after everybody. The problem is so many people are so damn talented.
I know.
You know, like there's just, it's just talent out there. So it's like, you know, are they silly if they don't bring in the Bollywood boys? You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're really talented.
Yeah. Yeah. Flats, which current wrestler would look good with the Bucks mustache? Oh, name them. Just about anybody.
Yeah. You know who pioneered that recently? Recently, the recent crop, Royce Isaacs.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been on, you know, AEW programming as well. Yeah. I think he's been on Dark a couple times.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a great mustache. Or I don't know if he has it anymore, but for a spell, he had a great mustache.
He had a really good mustache, huh? Shane's birthday tweet, if both NXT and AEW were on the same night still, what special show next week would you watch first, Road Rager or Great American Bash? It would probably be a Great American Bash.
Why is that?
Cole and O'Reilly too. That'll be really good. I mean, the main event of Road Rager is going to be Cody and QT.
Okay, what's the lineup for? Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
There's going to be some good matches on Dynamite on Road Rager next week. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like the Great American Bash is more or less a pay-per-view for NXT, you know?
Yeah, I know. My thing about NXT, especially now with like Cross going up and Reed going up, one of the two brands, NXT and AEW, is not beholden to anybody else, and that's AEW.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I feel like it's more of a full... NXT is my jam, and I love NXT. I really do. But it is sort of beholden to the whims of Vince McMahon.
Yeah. Obviously.
And AEW is not. And that's why AEW, I believe, has the big advantage over NXT, is mm-hmm. because NXT is not free to do whatever they want. They're not free to go after any free agent that they want to. Because if they do, like, Vince McMahon might just swoop him to go to main roster. You know, it's like they don't have the freedom that AEW totally. Does.
No, I understand that.
And so because of that, I sort of put AEW, I sort of consider them a bit more important programming
yeah.
because of that. Even yeah. though I personally would rather watch a product like NXT, I understand, you know, I think AEW is
well,
more
I think important. Part of it too is, you know, we usually cover NXT mm-hmm. on a weekly, or sorry, AEW on a weekly basis right after the show. NXT, not so much. And generally yeah. speaking, if for whatever reason NXT had a special card, mm-hmm. then for that week, we would give it precedence, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We'd fill it out. Let's see here. this is a great... JTV points this out too. Yeah, taking the example of Kenny, who basically, you know, ironically insulted the Dark Order, saying, you guys are a bunch of video game playing twerps. Of course, Kenny is a huge video game nut.
Yeah.
What is an insult that if you say it, you automatically insult yourself in the process? Anytime I call anybody a nerd... is exactly that. I literally had a podcast about Star Trek. I have got comic books, toys, every nerd thing imaginable. So if I call anybody a nerd, I'd be insulting myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm probably the same camp there. YouTube being, is it possible we get Hangman take the belt in the next few weeks to start the run of losses for Kenny so he can then take time off?
I don't know, but I don't think so. I think that Kenny's probably going to wait and let this play out, and maybe after September take just a ton of time off.
Yeah, because he's got, assuming he takes time off between now and Slammiversary, that's about 2 weeks. 2 weeks and change. 2.5 weeks mm-hmm. of rest. Mm-hmm. And then he could come back when he's got the Triple Mania match about a month later.
Yeah.
And it'll be about 2 weeks after that that All Out would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, he could basically do two matches in the next month and a half.
Yeah. 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 Let's see here. Okay. Interesting. Wizard of Smoke says, what's one thing you'd like AEW to keep from the COVID era? He says, I want to see the young wrestlers in the crowd. That's what I was going to say. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I would like them to keep, and I think they probably plan to do this, keep cinematic matches. I like yeah. the cinematic stuff. I think it works. Use production. Use editing.
You know, it'd be pretty cool. I don't know if this is ever going to happen for a company, mm-hmm. whether it's AEW or somebody else, to say, all right, this, for example, AEW, their home base is Daly's Place. So kind of do like, hey, we're going to do 2 or 3 weeks of shows at Daly's Place. We'll go on the road for a month or month and a half. Another 2 or 3 shows at Daly's Place, you know?
Or even like, you know, 2 months at Daly's Place,
yeah.
you know, and yeah. then go out on tour. So that touring is a very special thing.
Exactly.
And it helps the wrestlers as well. You have a home base in Jacksonville if you're employed by AEW. And then, you know, you always, for 2 months at a time, you get to go home. The crowd is great there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I know.
Seabass Play says, how's everyone feeling about Darby Allin being in Jackass 4? I think it's pretty great.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. Jackass 3 was amazing. I'm kind of terrified for Jackass 4. I remember hearing that there was some hospitalizations pretty early yeah. on. These guys are too old to be doing this stuff, but, you know, I'm sure Darby Allin is probably loving you know, because he was probably a kid when that stuff was coming out. Mm-hmm. I remember, man, talk about capturing the zeitgeist. Jackass mm-hmm. was the thing you back
got that
then.
Right. You got that right.
It was the thing. It was great. Anyways.
White Brownie says NXT UK stream tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Yep. Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Help support Going In Raw today by becoming a Friendo Club TV member. You'll get access to new bonus episodes every week, including Friendo Club Arcade, Live Power Rank, Vintage 10 for the Wins, and Ask Steven Larson. Get access to Friendo Club TV today by becoming a $5 and up patron at patreon.com/Steven Larson, by throwing us a sub at twitch.tv/Steven Larson, or by clicking join at youtube.com/Steven Larson.